This is the Steve Cochran Show.
I congratulated Donald Trump and offered to work with him on behalf of our country.
We are now all rooting for his success in uniting and leading the country.
This is not the outcome we wanted or we worked so hard for. And I'm sorry that we did not win this election.
That's the nature of democracy. It is hard and sometimes contentious and noisy. It's not always inspiring.
In fact, I want to show you where we are. Famous Michigan Avenue right behind us. We're on Upper Rocker. And you can see the big building from the tower that's here. And that's where they are deciding to do this protest. Saying they're against Trump and they want a different president.
They're blocking the streets. They're burning flags. They're standing on buses. They're writing swear words all over buses. It's not helping.
You have to stay encouraged. Don't get cynical.
We can't just do rallies. We have to fight back. There will be casualties on both sides. There will be, because people have to die to make a change in this world.
The peaceful transition of power is one of the hallmarks of our democracy.
6:12. Just when you thought everything was going to be fine. Oh, wait. You didn't think everything was going to be fine. Look, there's going to be some venting. There has to be some venting.
Some.
I don't know about blocking traffic. I don't know if I've ever told you this. I'm not a big fan of the protests that block traffic. I don't know how that gets people on your side. But the venting you heard there will continue today. And that's the kind of thing that President-elect Trump is going to have to deal with and answer to as well. I am going to do my best to avoid talking about this too much today because, frankly, I could use a break as well. And we do have a lot to get to today, including a very cool thing with a returning vet and our pal David Hochberg, amongst other folks, and Chicago firefighters. Northwestern basketball coming up. Hawks win last night again. Hottest team in sports. Artemi Panarin, or as I heard someone on television pronounce it again, Artemi Panarin. Seriously, the guy's been in town for a while. Get the pronunciation down. And the Hawks are just on a sweet roll, man.
Yes, they're on a sweet roll. Speaking of sweet rolls, you know this the bread man hat trick contest that we're running?
Dave, why don't you tell me about it?
Well, it's if Panera gets a hat trick, you have a chance to win.
So last night,
he had a Gordie Howe hat trick last night.
The Gordie Howe hat trick is defined by a fight.
A goal and an assist.
There you go.
Okay. His first fight, by the way, in the NHL. Yeah. But I don't think that qualifies for our hat trick contest.
No, I don't think that'll win you. You were giving away a bread from somewhere. I don't know the details.
Well, but we're also giving away bread like cash.
Right, but isn't there also isn't there a bread component to it or something?
Yes, there is.
Yeah. If I go to the WGNradio.com/events page, could I learn about
sure
the contest?
Could. Yep. Contests.
I should know more about this than I do. But I will. I'll study it. Meanwhile, you listeners find out. You let me know. Later today, I will say this, and welcome back, Andrea Darlis. Nice job in New York.
Thank you.
The most awkward recent meeting in political history will take place today when Barack Obama and Donald Trump get together at the White House. The president was very gracious yesterday. What's said behind closed doors could be, you know, quite interesting. Melania and Michelle, the first lady and the first lady elect, first lady to be, would probably be a better way of putting it.
And they're both 5'11", by the way.
Are they?
Yep, they're both 5'11", and so is Eleanor Roosevelt.
Well, look at you, heights of the women that serve the World Wide. they will be talking about things related to the role of the First Lady and how Michelle Obama took it and all of that. But because of the awkwardness of the meeting today, it seems to set up the perfect text question. And some of these awkward meetings can be lengthy. You need to express this as quickly as possible. But the most awkward meeting you were ever in. A really awkward meeting you were ever in, an awkward situation you were in, text your line 312-981-7200. And, you know, the more awkward, the better. As always, if you don't have one, make it up. And we'll give away some prizes on that later. At 6:15, coming up this hour, Elise Glink on what looked like a stock market disaster, which turned into a stock market rally, a 1,000-point swing between the time that Trump said that thanks, I'm in, And Hillary's speech yesterday and the president's speech yesterday, 1,000-point swing by the close of the markets yesterday. Anyway, at least Glick will talk about that. Nick, in a couple of minutes as well, we got a Great Hawks Express, as I mentioned, and then a very cool story about a vet that you should know about after 7.
What to see, what's out at the show, I need to know the place and when. But there's one guy on Kian's Cochrane Show, and what he says will make us stay or go. He is Nick at Night, DiGiulio. He knows what shows are good, what's stinking. He's the only one who's in the know. I need to know what Nick is thinking. I need to know what Nick is thinking.
6:21, Nick DiGiulio joins us now. Good morning, how are you?
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm okay.
Hawks won.
Yes, they did. 7 in a row.
Artemi Panarin, or as I said, some local TV folks like to call him, Artemi Panarin, scores the winner in overtime. And you probably know this. I don't know. Dave, are you aware of this? We have every Hawks game. Every second of the Hawks is on this radio station.
Everyone?
Everyone.
Wow.
Yeah. We're at the Blackhawks radio station. Dave, when's our next game?
Our next game's tomorrow night. The Washington Capitals will be at the United Center.
Could see them down the road. You know what I like to say, Dave? Could be a preview of a playoff matchup.
You know, it is November, right?
Oh sorry. I'm getting a little ahead of myself.
And then Montreal on Sunday. And right now, the Blackhawks have the second best record in the National Hockey League behind the Montreal Canadiens.
No, how about that? And why are they called that?
The Habs are having a great year.
And why are they called the Habs?
Well, you've got the Habs and the Have-Nots.
No,
they're the Habs.
No, I don't think that's it.
No, they're the Les Habitats.
Well, it's
H-A-B-S.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's French for?
No, it's not French. They are the Habitats. And it's short for habitat. It's short for habitat.
All right, since neither one of you know what you're talking about. We're going to talk movies. What do we have?
It's a pretty big weekend. There's a really much ballyhooed, getting great reviews, science fiction film called Arrival, which stars Amy Adams, Jeremy Renner, and Forrest Whitaker. And it's about an alien invasion. Many large spaceships land around Earth.
Isn't this Independence Day?
No. This is actually like a real movie.
But didn't Independence Day have large spaceships come and just kind of hover?
Yeah. But this is like, good. So it's about a linguistics expert played by Amy Adams who is recruited to help NASA and the government try and decode the language that the aliens are trying to communicate to us. And things get very complicated. And it's about misunderstanding what these aliens are trying to communicate and whether or not they're taking us as a threat or we are taking them as a threat. It's getting great reviews, and everybody says that it's a really nice companion piece to the great Robert Zemeckis movie with Jodie Foster called Contact, and that this is kind of right up there. So I'm really looking forward to it. I'm going to see it this Saturday.
Amy Adams is great, and
she is.
She's great in everything. And doesn't she have another movie coming out? I don't know if it's this weekend. It's some
Nocturnal Animals.
Yeah, and it's some freak show that stops her and Jake Gyllenhaal and asks where Maggie is. Is that like a Hitchcock thing, or is what is that?
It's a film about a guy, an ex wife or an ex husband, played by Jake Husband, writing a book based on his ex wife, and writes about how dangerous and violent she is, and the ex wife is played by Amy Adams, and Michael Shannon shows up as a weirdo.
Oh, that's odd. That's odd because normally he's the good guy.
Yeah, he's the handsome leading man.
Yeah.
And he's going to be a weird. Yeah, yeah. That's called Nocturnal Animals. It opens in a couple of weeks.
Does that look positive or possibly good as well?
Yeah, it looks very good. It could be two really, really good films for her this fall. Yeah.
All right. And what else you got?
Shut In, which is Naomi Watts' new film. It's a horror movie about a child psychologist played by Naomi Watts, who is stuck in a house during a massive snowstorm.
Of course.
And her youngest son, her youngest son disappears. And the youngest son is played by Jacob Tremblay, who was the incredible kid from Room last year. And now he's starring in a movie called Shut-In, which I find really kind of strange.
This poor kid, is he traumatized for life?
Oh, he's going to be a mess. He's going to be a mess. How can he not be? He's in this movie called Room about, you know, his mother being a sex prisoner, and now he's in this?
And he's
Why can't the
eight?
Kid do a Disney film?
Yeah, he's only eight.
A gentle musical with animated animals frolicking around him.
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice? Instead, he's in a movie where, you know, he's a shut-in, and there's a ghost. And so it's a horror movie about a ghost during a snowstorm, and the kid from Room disappears.
Sounds like a lot of laughs. And you got one more, or should we go directly to the plug?
We can go real quick. I just want to mention Loving, which is the new film from Jeff Nichols, based on a true story. It's a true story that took place in 1958 about a couple that were an interracial couple that got married out of state, but moved back, lived in the state where it was illegal to be married, and they actually were thrown in jail and gone and had to go to trial because they got married. It's supposed to be great. Jeff Nichols directed it, and he directed a film, one of the best movies of the year earlier this year, called Midnight Special, and he continues to make like really, really great films, and this is yet another one that that should be seen by everybody. It's a terrific movie.
Remember when TV was 3.5 channels and the Midnight Special was a show with Wolfman Jack on it? You remember that?
Of course. Yeah, sure.
Yeah? Okay. I just like to throw that out. Occasionally I just have those moments where that sort of thing flashes. It's like earlier this week.
You just thought of Wolfman Jack?
Yeah. I don't know why. I don't know why you can't follow that. I mean, that seems perfectly logical to me. All right. I know we have another Nick movie coming up.
Yes, we do. A special Saturday night edition in November, November 19th. We are showing on the big screen The Godfather, the original one. And it's going to be digitally remastered, 4K digital sound and everything. It's at the Movie Co Theater in Rosemont. There's a bar restaurant on the second floor called Bogart's, and they're doing a special Italian dinner special. It's 1995 for the dinner. You get a cannoli at the end, and I think wine comes with it. And
they get so piano string.
And a horse's head. So you don't have to participate in the dinner if you don't want to, but they make a whole evening of it. It's $10 for the movie. Which is cheap, and it's one of the greatest movies ever made. I'll talk beforehand, and we'll do a little Q&A and a talk afterwards. My movie clubs are usually on Tuesdays, but we couldn't schedule this one. We had a different one scheduled, an earlier one scheduled, but we canceled it because November 1st we figured was going to be Game 6 of the World Series, and November 8th, obviously, was the end of the world. We changed it, and now we're just going to do the one on the 19th, and it's The Godfather.
All right, buddy. Hear you on the radio later, 628. Big story coming up, 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Woo!
Woo!
Ow!
Love that money.
641. Got a little nutty when it became real that Trump was going to be the next president of the United States. It looked like a worldwide global financial apocalypse. And then the sun came up and things began to settle down.
It's appropriate. This is the Trump apprentice show theme.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Well, not originally. Originally, it's money.
Well, yeah. Yeah. And then it became that.
It was taken for that show. Yeah. But it does work out, doesn't it? In the big picture, as Elise Glink joins us now. So what do we believe, the good news or the scary news?
You know, I think you have to sort of, at least I'm walking the middle line, Steve. When I look at the markets today, yesterday, the world markets were all in red, like down 5% in the Nikkei and down 3% in Shanghai. And I mean, it was really bleak yesterday. And even in our own stock markets, right, before it opened, we were down in pre-trading session as low as 850 points. And then, you know, they just pulled the trigger on it, and they said, yeah, we're just going to halt trading. And then everything opened up, and it's all green. It's green across the world. We're seeing Shanghai. Nikkei is up 6.72% today. Shanghai is up 1.37%. The FTSE is up. Euro stocks are up. The CAC 40 is up. Everything's up. And dollar is trading stronger against a lot of the currencies. So we're seeing it kind of rebound. And, of course, the U.S. market is going to go up today. At least it's going to open higher. So I don't know. I think people are a little confused about what to think about Donald Trump. But you know what? Markets love confusion. So that's why the stocks are trading higher.
So institutional investors mostly early here because, you know, people panicked about their 401k. Very unlikely didn't go out and sell everything yesterday. So they're probably just waiting, right?
I think people are just waiting. I think that some of the investment notes that I'm starting to get from big investors around the country, they send out these market watch notes in the morning. And one of them came in today, and I thought this is really appropriate for the WGN audience because it talks about sectors. And when Republicans typically go in, you expect them to lighten a lot of the regulations. And so there's been a lot of talk about how onerous Dodd-Frank has been with the banks. And so if you think about where regulations could get lightened and what that might mean for trading, the banking sector certainly could get Dodd-Frank repealed. That would be good for stocks in the financial sector. Mining and energy, we heard Donald Trump talk a lot on the campaign trail about he was going to get us back digging in the earth, whereas Hillary was like, we're done with mining. But if you repeal some of the environmental laws, like Donald Trump has said he will do, mining and energy could be strong. And then, of course, the Affordable Health Care Act, which would give a huge boost to the insurance companies, who I'd like to just remind everybody actually wrote the Affordable Care Act. And now we'll be busy rewriting the next version of whatever that becomes. And so that could be a nice place to be investing, too. And then you've got, you know, he talks a lot about infrastructure, bridges, roads, schools. That's always good. Good jobs there.
Right.
And then finally, if you're fiscally lax, which most Republican presidents tend to be in comparison to Democrats, there's also a lot that could do, you know, could go into the economy. So that's kind of where I think the bets are going to be placed today.
Elise, I know the market's volatile. It was especially volatile with this election, but based on what you just said, is it going to fluctuate this much every time Trump makes a decision or a move or an announcement? Like, okay, today, you know, we're going to start the steps to repeal Obamacare or fracking, whatever it might be. Can we expect to see a lot of volatility between now and the inauguration and even after that, too?
I think you might see a lot of volatility up through the time where everybody starts to feel comfortable that the next door is going to close on them. You know, the uncertainty is what's driving the volatility index. Once we start to understand what a Trump presidency looks like, that should calm down a little bit unless you've got the decisions that are coming out that are just completely incomprehensible. So you know how he was on the campaign trail and all of a sudden he would start down a train of thought and then the next 2 seconds later you're on a bus talking about women? That kind of stuff, I think, could make the markets gyrate pretty wildly. But if he just starts down a more typical Republican track and you feel like the effects of, you know, Mike Pence, for example, who's very, very, very conservative, but he's very Republican in that way, I think people might calm down and say, okay, now I know what to expect from this.
Well, the question is, who does he listen to, right? And through the campaign, it was pretty clear he wasn't listening to anybody. And then somewhere
until Kellyanne Conway came along.
That's exactly right. Until Kellyanne Conway came along, and in the last month and a half, I would argue she got him elected, did a remarkable job of that. She's, by the way, opening this weekend in Vegas. She and David Copperfield are doing a show.
I hear she wants a role in his administration, and if she can just, you know, keep him away from Twitter, that alone might calm the market.
Listen, I'm telling you right now, if Trump is serious about being a president that will be remembered well, I'm not even going for good or great, just to be remembered well, he should have her attached to his hip, because the way he behaved in the last 2 weeks absolutely got him over in a close election, which as of this morning, Hillary Clinton still won the popular vote. Without her, it doesn't happen.
You know, Steve, it's sort of interesting. Somebody said to me, well, what do I think is going to happen, you know, with this presidency? And I said, you know, what I'm hoping will happen, and I think we all are, is that once he walks in, you know, let's just say the inaugural balls are over and everybody's gone to sleep and it's the first mm-hmm. night and he sits down behind the desk and it's really quiet.
And he weeps.
Right. Well, there's that past the Kleenex. But I'm just hoping that the gravitas of the presidency sure. settles in on him and he grows into it.
I have talked to every presidential historian of note on this show, and I've met a few presidents through the years, and they all say the same thing. Those that have spoken about it, those that have written about it, the weight of the office consumes you, but it also changes you as a person in a way that you understand, like you couldn't unless you had the job, what it means to make the decisions that you will make. And He pulled off an absolute miracle. I mean, for him to get this job, well, now he has to do the job. And until he proves me wrong and the rest of us wrong, I have to have faith. There's no other option.
Well, you have,
to support the office, and you have to have faith that the person who is in the office is going to do the job. There'll be a million things we disagree with, but you have to believe that he's going to do the job and do it well until he proves you wrong. I understand the fear. I understand everybody's concern. I think it's clear if you listened. I wasn't a fan. But he has the gig now, and supporting him is important. My concern from a financial standpoint, which is Elise's home game, is who is he going to surround himself with that understands money, because he's got a gigantic ego. He certainly believes he understands money, but he hasn't exactly shown himself to be somebody who has collected a great group of advisors who are ready and rocking and ready to go. I mean, Carl Icahn's a billionaire because he was, you know, a guy that knew how to play the markets and a hedge fund guy. I don't know that I want him handling everybody's money. So there's all those questions.
Well, Steve, NPR is reporting today that China's state-controlled media is almost gleeful about what happened with Donald Trump's victory, because they hold him in such low esteem, and they consider it, as a candidate, they considered him a clown. That's what NPR is reporting from Chinese media. So when you've got China looking at him, you've got trade deals, you've got Russia, you know, again, these are the things that the markets are going to be watching. And when you start talking about blowing up trade deals, all the lowered regulations that a Republican-controlled Congress or, you know, a Republican government is going to put forward doesn't counteract completely the idea that you're going to blow up all your trade agreements around the world. So I think we all are going to have to watch to see what way he steps forward.
Well, but the concern is, right, the concern is he's got a Republican Senate and a Republican House who can do anything he wants. It's completely wrong, and here's why. Those people are as narcissistic as he is, and they have their own political careers and agendas and things they need to deal with as well. So I'm not saying it's not going to be frustrating to Democrats and even independents, but Republicans will not just sign off on everything Trump wants, especially if it's crazy. They just won't do it. There's a checks and balances system that has worked before when the president and the Congress are of the same party, and it will work again. Again, until we're proven wrong, try to take a deep breath and just see what happens. Because unless you figured out a way to fast track constitutional amendment changes and everything else, there's no reason to lose your mind right now. There's just not.
Yeah. Well, I think everybody took a day yesterday. I know in my office, all of my people did. I bought everybody pizza for lunch, a little sugar, a little salt, a little fat, some melty cheese. We all felt a lot better.
Well, Andrea had a problem last night. She went out for ice cream, and the protesters blocked her.
Yeah, my neighbor, Elise, said, oh, I'm so upset. Let's go for ice cream. I said, great. So we started to get on Lakeshore Drive, closed. Started to go east on Monroe, closed. All righty. So much for
I don't know how you expect Andrea to be on your side of the protest if you're keeping her from ice cream. Yeah, I mean, that's ridiculous.
I know. It's all about the ice
cream.
That's
right.
Elise Glink, where do we follow you?
ThinkLink.com.
Oh, this is awkward.
Later today, Donald Trump meets with Barack Obama, the president-elect and the president of the United States, for the first time. You think Obama would do that thing where he's got like a pail with water on it, like when you walk into the Oval Office and... Come on in, Donald! I think it'll be a very cordial meeting and a helpful meeting. President Obama yesterday said that he very much appreciated what President Bush did for him and the Bush team did for him. And again, there's no upside to pranking the new president.
No.
Might be fun, but no upside to it.
I wonder what they're going to have for lunch.
Kentucky Fried Chicken. Just a big bucket of it. Remember how he likes it on the plane?
Sharing
the Trumpster.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's going to be an awkward meeting. It has to be. It's just awkward. They're human beings. It's awkward. It's awkward for both of them, frankly. So I said, tell me your awkward stories at 312-981-7200. I got prizes at the end of the show. 262. 2 months before our wedding, our church decided to start remodeling and canceled our wedding date. I was very upset. I had to meet with the priest to explain why rebooking everything on short notice was a problem and asked if the church will pay for reprinting the invites. It was a brand new priest. Had no idea what I was talking about because he'd never planned a wedding. See, because he was a priest.
Oh, got awkward. It. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
6-3-0 awkward. Before we were married, we attended my husband's brother's wedding. Okay, following me?
Got it.
We go to my husband's brother's wedding. All the guests thought I was my husband's first wife.
Oh.
and called me her name all day.
Okay, that's awkward.
That marriage lasted only 4 months.
No.
He and I have been married for 42 years.
Oh, that's funny.
She wins.
She totally
wins. At
least
I think. I don't know the guy. Maybe she lost. I don't know. And 630, I was at my dad's wake and walked into the little coffee room. In there was my first wife, my second wife, and my current wife talking with my best friend's wife. I turned around and exited.
That is so weird. Three wives.
Three wives and a best friend.
And a best friend.
And the dude walks into the room.
Sounds like a new rom-com.
That could be Trump. I mean, he's got two ex-wives. The current one.
He'd go into the Lincoln bedroom, yes. And right. There's everyone right. He ever knew.
Yeah, no kidding. So.
Three wives and a best friend. Isn't that the new CBS series?
Yeah. Could be. It's a good title for it.
Coming out next fall.
Sponsored by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. It's time for the Hawks Express. And when the Hawks win, we do this. Chicago!
Chicago Blackhawks have taken their six-game winning streak to St. Louis in search of their seventh straight victory while simultaneously widening the gap between themselves and their Central Division rivals.
Taves will face off with Patrick Berglund.
And we're underway here in St. Louis and the Blues control.
Rasmussen wedges the puck down the boards behind the net. Bronziak got it there to Bouwmeester. He fires from the left point. That's redirected in on goal by Reeves. What a blocker save made by Crawford. Outstanding save by Corey Crawford. Olsen center ice to Anisimov over the center ice circle. Hands it off to Panarin down the left wing into the blue zone. Drops it to Forsling. Line. Fires. Save. Rebound. Score. It's Marian Hossa. All the opening that Marian Hossa needed. He put it in behind Allen and the Hawks lead. One to Shattenkirk left point. Back to Steen. Hammers a shot. Rolls in front of the Hawk net. Look out. There's a pass. And a shot by Tarasenko. Scrambling save by Crawford. He went down from the right post to the left and got his pad in front of that. That's the save of the game for the Hawks. Tarasenko put it to the line. One-timer. They score. It's Pietrangelo. Pietrangelo let it rip from just inside the Hawk blue line. We're tied at one. Down to Kane along the right wing boards. To Seabrook in the deep slot. Top of the left circle now. Panarin climbs little slot. Chichi scores! Hawks win in overtime! Artemi Panarin with a sniper shot in behind Jake Allen. 25 seconds into overtime, and the Hawks will win it. 2-1, the final score.
Na, 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 na. How about them Hawks? Seven in a row. Nacho Hawks Express from Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. News next hour. A veteran who has served this nation with distinction. Very cool guy you're going to want to meet. We'll tell you about something cool that's happening for him today.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
712. I'm proud of this show's commitment to veterans and have an opportunity many times a year to do things to support the cause of our friends that you hear about on this show all the time. And there's nobody that's more generous with his time, his money, his efforts, then my friend David Hochberg, who joins us now. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Thanks for having us.
David Hochberg from Pearl Mortgage. You and I bonded over this initially, and it's like Mark Slaby and other guys that we know, and obviously
Doyle.
Mark Doyle, that we didn't serve.
Right.
So this is our way of paying it forward and paying it back and helping in any way we can. So let's go backstory here. Mm-hmm. Before we talk about what we're about to do, like firefighters, like we have to talk about what heroes firefighters are.
Right.
Come on.
Exactly. Associated Firefighters of Illinois had their convention at a golf course over the summer in June. And one of my guys sponsored it, invited me out to have lunch with a couple of the firefighters. And we went out to lunch and Tim O'Brien and Noah and I, Millard went out for lunch. And it turns out that Tim, his first cousin, and I have done business for like 10, 15 years.
All right.
And
so you know he's a good man.
There was an instant connection. And we were just sitting there, and he was talking about the different programs that they have and the car giveaway that that we're doing today, mm-hmm. that they were planning to do at the end of the year. And I'm like, mm-hmm. I'm in. So, and I said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put up $5,000, and I'll match the first $5,000 that we raise, and we'll just blow it up, and we'll blow it out.
And this car is from where?
It is from DeKalb Sycamore.
Chevy, Cadillac, GMC.
GMC.
Yeah.
And they did a phenomenal job.
Nate's here from there, and they're great people, and you should support them.
Right.
Now, when we say we're giving away a car to a veteran, this is a car retrofitted, equipped, specifically, no?
Well, this car does not need to be retrofitted because the veteran that we're given to, even though he's a double amputee, has full functions of his...
you big show-off.
Yeah, look at that. So if it did need to be retrofitted...
That's part of what these guys do, though.
Oh, absolutely.
And the point being, we're going to try to raise money for other cars as well and projects going forward.
Yes.
So would you like to introduce us, man?
Yes. We have Sergio, who is our Iraqi. I kept saying Afghanistan. I apologize. It's an Iraqi war veteran.
Sergio, how are you?
Good. Good. Thank you. Good morning, everyone.
And good morning to you. Thank you for your service. Where did you serve and when?
Thanks for your support. I served in Iraq, OIF-1. So I was there in 2003 to 2004.
Which branch?
With the Army.
Yes.
Then I went back my second tour at the end of 05 and into 06. And that's when I got injured in January of 06.
And you have your beautiful daughters here with you who are skipping school, and they're very appreciative of that.
Yes. Yes, they're happy to be here. Sasha and Sophia are here with me.
Are they good students?
They're great students, actually.
Yeah, they seem like very nice girls.
Believe it or not, my youngest, Sophia, I actually had to talk her into skipping school for this.
Oh, it's worth it. It's worth it. This is exciting stuff. All right, so I don't want to dwell on the injury, but for sake of context here, tell people what happened to you.
Well, on my second tour in Iraq, I was hit with my vehicle was hit with an IED, an improvised explosive device. As a result of the blast, I lost both of my knees. I had multiple fractures to both of my legs. My guys on the ground actually were able to get me out of the battle zone and into a hospital, and I actually made it all the way back to the States with my legs. But they were just so badly injured that I actually have more mobility now with my prosthetics.
Sure.
Than if I had kept my legs.
Any complications outside from the obvious changing your life stuff?
No, not.
I mean, you look like a very healthy guy.
Just a bunch of bad jokes that I tell all the time.
Yeah, right.
Sergio, we put up with that too.
It's kind of what the show is, one long bad joke. But this is a story that has been repeated hundreds and hundreds and thousands of times by guys you served with, guys you know, guys you'll never meet.
Yes.
And what happens is vets come home, David, and you and I talk about this all the time. Vets come home and return to their lives and work their tails off to try to reestablish themselves. And if you get a little help here and there from generous folks like these firefighters you're about to meet, well, God bless them all, because you're the beneficiary of this, and I'm thrilled they're able to do this for you. Yes. And I'm sure your family is as well.
Yes, we're very thrilled, and we're very appreciative of what these firefighters do. I mean, I've known Tim and Noah for a few years now, and I cannot tell you what it means to me to see the guys that have gotten vehicles before me, and what it means to be, you know, for me to be here right now. It's just an unbelievable feeling. The car, you know, I can touch it, I can sit in it, you know, but
and by the way, who knew we could get a Yugo on short notice?
Right?
I mean, that's incredible.
Exactly.
But these guys, you know, these guys knowing that they're doing this on their own time, on their own dime. I like to say that all the time. These guys, none of them get paid for what they do. They do it on their days off, and they're really busy with other projects and family, and they still take the time to do this for veterans, and I love them for that.
They get it. They get it. As does, I mentioned, DeKalb, Sycamore, Chevy, Cadillac, GMC. I mean, you know, you guys know this. But I always talk about, you know, your local car dealer. Your local car dealer is one of the backbones of your neighborhood. You know, they're the ones paying for the Little League uniforms, and they're the ones stepping up for whatever goes on in your neighborhood. And Tim and Noah are here, and you guys have been on the show before, but let's pick it up with you guys. How long has this program been in place?
Well, we started doing this around 2008, 2009.
Okay.
And we started it with the Chicago Firefighters Union doing this.
Okay.
And the personality of all of our guys on this job, I started getting phone calls from Berwyn, Dalton, Harvey,
sure.
Lansing, Cicero, DeKalb, Springfield, firefighters from all over the state of Illinois saying, hey, we'd like to be in on your project. What are you doing? So I approached our state president, Pat Devaney, some years back, probably somewhere around 2011, said, Pat, I'd like to do this. And he kicked it around, and we did a couple cars, and then the state started their own 501c3. So we are now the AFFI Warrior Program since 2012.
And how does this work for people listening around the country? I mean, is there a template for this? If a fire department calls you guys and says, we want to do this in our town, can you teach them how to do it?
Yes. Basically, we a couple times a year when we're at a convention, we pitch all of our guys and say, would you like to get involved? What do you think you can do?
Okay.
And I remember when I got approached by Pat and Noah at a Cubs game. We had a fundraiser for muscular dystrophy. We were on a rooftop, and they came to me and said, I think we can do it. And I said, I'm absolutely sure you can. And now here's a local of, what, 50-some?
Yeah, 54 members.
And these are your DeKalb guys?
Yes, in DeKalb we've got 54 members.
Yeah. And if a 54-member local can put something like this together, just imagine what anybody can do.
When we come back, I want to talk about how you can help and how you can raise money. By the way, our friend Hochberg here kicked in $5,000, said match it.
How about that? Yeah. You're the best, David.
Yeah.
Thanks.
So it's very nice.
Very, very nice.
Because, frankly, I know you don't have it.
how true is that?
Wink, wink.
But, no, it's very generous of you, and we'll tell you how you can get involved and help, because we're not just taking care of the car today. We want to make this an ongoing effort and make sure that we continue to help.
Absolutely.
So we'll do that more in a second. But first, we also have 900 people we're going to introduce here in the studio. Well. And meet the girls. Meet your daughters here in just a second as well. Tomorrow we'll be live at Navy Pier for Veterans Day. You guys got the plug on it? Never mind, I just found it. We actually still use paper here. Paperwork nightmare. I'm surprised I don't cut myself. Come out and see the Veterans Day show this Friday, broadcasting live, third annual Veterans Hiring and Resource Fair at Navy Pier's Crystal Gardens. That's tomorrow morning, 6 to 10. 20 local companies are actively hiring vets. And by the way, we're going to see people come in tomorrow, get hired tomorrow.
How about that?
They'll do the interview process, and jobs will be offered tomorrow.
On the spot.
Active duty military as well as support organizations, all welcome. Veterans, military, and their families can also get free rides on the Centennial Wheel for Veterans Day. Get details at WGNradio.com/events. It's sponsored by our friends at Fifth Third Bank and Career Builder. And again, that will be tomorrow. So looking forward to that. David Hochberg is here, and David Hochberg and his new best friends. Have you guys pranked you yet? Have they gone put you through any sort of hazing process of firefighters? Nothing at all?
Yeah, it's coming. Yeah, we're going to do the they're going to make me roll up the hose and do the hose carry up the stairs.
I don't like your, collapse. I gotta be honest, I don't like your chances.
There's no way.
In the full gear, with the full gear.
I don't need the full gear. I'll just collapse after the first set of stairs.
This is a big day for Sergio Lopez, Army Specialist, and he is going to receive a brand new vehicle for his family as simply a thank you for the service that he gave to this country. And you heard from Sergio a couple minutes ago. Why don't you introduce your daughters?
Yes, thank you. My girls are here, Sasha, 13, and Sophia, 10.
Sophia, I'm guessing that you don't get to talk first very often because you have a big sister. Is that probably true?
Sometimes.
So you're 10 years old?
Yeah.
And did I hear Dad right? You didn't want to miss school today?
Yeah.
Why is that?
I don't know. I have a really good teacher, and we're really
you like school?
The same, yeah.
What's your teacher's name?
Miss Owen.
Yeah, and what class is it? Do you go to different classes, or are you all in the same, you're in the same classroom all day?
Well, I switch classes for math and fine arts. She's my homeroom teacher.
Okay, so it's really important to have a teacher like that. You know, you'll probably remember her your whole life. What do you want to be when you grow up?
I actually do want to be a teacher like her.
Nice. That's very nice. What a tribute to her. Let's make sure the kids get Lou Malnati's, right? Let's take care of these guys with Lou Malnati's. Maybe even an app gift card, unless this goes poorly.
He's kidding.
You seem like a very sweet, nice person for 13.
Thank you.
You might get kicked out of the union. I don't know why your mic's not working. Get right on top of that thing. So you're 13 years old?
Yes.
Nope, not working. Share a mic with your sister if you don't mind. Sorry about that. So you're 13 years old?
Yeah.
And where do you go to school?
I go to Minooka Junior High.
All right. And how big a town is Minooka? I hear you have, what, two traffic lights?
Pretty much.
So what do you do for fun?
I like to shoot. I love to do archery. I love to read, write, listen
archery?
To music.
Really? Cool.
Yeah.
Do you have your own bow?
Yes, I do.
How good is she, Dad?
She's pretty good. We have a big field behind our house, luckily, and she has a lot of room to play, and I just have to be careful that I don't catch one of those arrows one day.
Well, she's 13, and she seems to still like you, so I think you're going to be okay.
We're doing good so far.
Yeah. How'd you end up in Minooka? Is that where you're from?
No. I've kind of been everywhere. Grew up in the city, went to high school in Romeoville. Then my parents moved to Joliet. When I came back from the service, my parents were living in Joliet. But Minooka's just, you know, it's a small
community. It's a great little town.
It's a really small, great town, great schools. And that's the main reason why we're there. My girls and I live there. They live full time with me, and they go to school there. They love it there.
Well, that's nice. And at 13, that puts you in 8th grade?
Yes.
What school are you in? You're in middle school?
Junior.
Yeah, what's the name of your school?
Minooka Junior High.
Yeah, and what was your school?
Minooka Intermediate School.
Okay, great. 13, so you got it all figured out. Where are you going to go to college, and what are you going to do with the rest of your life? We're going to need an answer.
I'm still deciding where I want to go to college.
Yeah, that seems right.
I kind of want to go into aviation and maybe even the Air Force.
How about that? Yeah, we got a fine member of the Air Force here. Adam from Channel 9's here. So if you have any questions, as your dad would say, don't talk to that guy because you don't know him.
That's right.
But 13, that means, you know, she's going to be driving soon.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. It's scary, but...
Yeah. Yeah. Well, she's got 2 or 3 years, so you don't have the car good and broken in by then.
Yeah.
What are you going to say, sir?
Let's hope the police department in Minooka is not listening, but she already drove a couple of times.
Oh. This is such a tough break. Let's bring them in right now.
Right?
David Hochberg, explain your $5,000 matching offer.
Yes, I offered to put up the first $5,000 to match the first $5,000 donated. So it's very easy to donate. You could go to WGNDavid.com. There's a Warrior logo, AFFI Warrior program logo right there. And all you have to do is click on donate. If you can only donate a dollar, you can donate five. Like I mentioned,
donate the full $5,000,
or donate. Show. You know, listen, I would love. To, you know, I'm already $5,000. I think we're already over the $5,000 mark.
Let's keep it going. Let's do $5,000 more.
Yeah, and let's get it up to $38,000. That's what we need to cover the cost of the car. And I think we're over $10,000 already. And it would be great if your listeners could help us get to the $38,000 mark. But just go into WGNDavid.com. And whatever they could give, Steve, if it's a dollar, if it's $5. Last time I was on, a doctor friend of mine gave $2,500. So, listen,
And it's great of him to step up again for another
$2,500. Exactly.
Yeah, that's very cool. I don't know if he's listening now, but we really appreciate it.
I sent
him
a text and said, hey, you're probably going to get hit up for another $25. But if there's other professionals out there that could afford to do it, do it. It's a great time of the year. It's Veterans Day tomorrow, and it's a great cause.
Where is the car?
The car is being wheeled around to the cutout over there on Michigan Avenue. It's parked in front of NBC Tower right now.
All right, so here's the plan.
Yeah.
I don't know, can we get it over here in the next 10 minutes?
Yeah.
So here's the plan. After you do this big story, you go outside with a phone.
Yeah, sounds good.
And then you can take a look at the car.
That sounds great.
And we can talk a little more there. But before we wrap up this section, again, donations where?
WGNDavid.com. You just go there. It's very simple. There's a donate button. Takes you right to the AFFI Warrior donate page, and you can just donate whatever you can.
One of the most important things about Veterans Day is not just remembering those who serve, but understanding why the service took place and what the motivation was. And Sergio, I dropped the ball here. I never asked you. Why'd you go in? Why'd you decide to join?
Well, there are many factors. when I was younger, I kind of knew I wanted to be in some kind of public service role, either police or fire, military. Then, with all the things that were going on in that time, I figured, okay, that's my sign. I'm going to go ahead and do this, and I went ahead and joined the Army.
Regardless of what happened to you, and it's significant and it's unbelievable, and none of us would want it for ourselves, but you seem to be an incredibly happy guy with these two beautiful kids. Would you change anything?
Not one thing, not one bit. I loved my time in the service. I actually re-enlisted to go back on my second tour, and the reason why I'm happy and I try to be as positive as I can is because, one, I have my kids, as you mentioned. They're not to try to be funny, but they keep me on my toes. They keep me grounded. They are really, really they're my light at the end of the tunnel. And then you have guys like Tim and Noah and Pat and everyone at the AFFI Warrior Program that, like I was saying earlier, that support us. And they've done so much, not just for myself, but, you know, for many other veterans and their families. And because this impacts not just the veteran, him or herself, but the family as a whole.
No question. Know?
So I want to thank them for that.
And again, the people you've met already, but maybe you just turned your radio on, from the DeKalb Firefighters and AFFI Warrior Program, Noah Millard. Is it Millard?
Yes, sir.
That's right, it is. Noah Millard, Tim O'Brien, Chicago Firefighters Local 2, also the AFFI Warrior Program, and the chairman, Patrick Devaney from the Associated Firefighters of Illinois, Patrick Erickson, DeKalb Firefighters. And Nate Brand, who we'll say hi to outside, from the DeKalb, Sycamore, Chevrolet, Cadillac, and GMC. In DeKalb, all of you, cannot thank you enough. And for everyone I didn't mention, just say your name.
Al.
All right, Al.
By the way, is it just Al? I feel like there's a lot of people here.
There's four Al's, so it's good.
Okay.
Can I just add one more thing, Steve? 100% of the donations that people make goes directly to the wounded, okay, and it goes directly towards this program. There's no overhead. We're not taking any salaries. I'm doing this. I'm not taking anything out of this. Right. We're giving the $5,000, so we just want to stress there are no salaries paid to anyone working on this program, and 100% of the donation is going towards covering the cars for these wounded heroes. Okay, so that's what I'd like want everybody to know.
God bless you guys, man, for all the work you're doing. It's tremendous. And girls, it's really nice to meet you. You seem like you're terrific, and keep an eye on your dad, you know, and don't shoot him with a bow.
Okay. They're going to be the first ones to go sit in the car.
Yeah, I didn't ask you. You want to say hi to your friends or anything? Any friends you want to say hi to? We're big in talk radio between 10 and 13-year-olds, if you want to say hi. No? Okay. All right.
This program has done so much for me. I've been able to learn that there's still good people in the world, even with all you see on the news, and it's just been great.
Here, here.
I got to follow that.
Break.
You guys are amazing. Thank you. We'll take a break. Come back. Get your big story next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
745. We're going to go outside as our wounded warrior, Sergio Lopez, gets a brand new car. Isn't that cool? And tell you how you can donate again. So stand by for that. After 8 o'clock, Dean Richards, Chris Collins, as we're on the verge of a Northwestern basketball season, which could be pretty sweet. My friend Mark DiCarlo in studio later. Wang Dang Doodle results and picks. We got to get those underway. That little election thing kind of threw us off a bit timing-wise. But let's do traffic here, Mary, and then we'll come back. We'll go outside where Sergio's car will be presented to him and his girls in just a second. $7.51 tomorrow on Veterans Day. We'll be live helping vets get jobs. Third annual Veterans Hiring and Resource Fair at Navy Pier's Crystal Gardens. The entire show live from Navy Pier tomorrow, 6 to 10. 20 local companies have committed to hire vets and active duty military, sport organizations too. Veterans, military, and their families can also get free rides throughout the day for Veterans Day at Navy Pier Centennial Wheel. Details on all of it, WGNRadio.com/events. Thank you, Fifth Third Bank and Career Builder. 751 outside on Michigan Avenue to Andrea Darlis, and I think this is you. Good morning.
Hey, Steve. Oh, my gosh. This beautiful blue Chevy Camaro has just been presented to Sergio.
2016 blue. Chevy Camaro, right?
Oh, it is absolutely stunning. It's gorgeous. It's got the white stripes on the back. Chicago Fire Department is here, and Sergio is with his daughters about to get into the car. It is absolutely beautiful, and there's a lot of tears going on here, too, this morning, Steve.
Well, enough about you crying. What about them?
Both of us. Oh, it's such a very moving, beautiful time. And now the girls, Sergio, I thought the girls were going to get in first, but I think Sergio is going to do the honors.
And well, they're very nice girls. They want their dad. Nice, yeah, sure. They wanted dad, yep, to get in first. Sure, those
they
are great
did,
kids.
Absolutely.
Let me talk to Nate, if you would, for a second. Nate is a service manager out there. Find out a little something about the car here.
Yeah, Nate. Actually, Nate's Cubcat matches the color of the car, which is very cool.
Oh, look. Color coordinated.
Over to Nate here, Steve.
Okay.
Hey, Steve.
Hey, Nate. Nate Brandt is a service manager at DeKalb, Sycamore, Chevrolet, Cadillac, GMC that put this car up today. All right, so, Nate, what are they going to get? What is it? Describe the car.
2016 Camaro SS. Obviously, it's the right color blue, and it's the Cubby's blue.
There you go.
Black wheels. It's an absolutely gorgeous car and a blast to drive.
And they look pretty happy in it. I know you're on the people are listening on the radio, but from our perspective here, we can see back to where the car is parked, and they're having a great time. So
absolutely.
Thanks to you guys for stepping up as well. We appreciate it very much, Nate.
We don't do anything. This is it's an honor for us to even have the opportunity to be in this situation. We don't do anything compared to what guys like Sergio do on a daily basis. And obviously, if it wasn't for those guys, none of us would have half the lifestyles that we do.
So. You're exactly right. And if you don't do anything, imagine what I do. Give the phone to Andre or Sergio, whoever's closer. I want to talk to Sergio before we wrap up here.
Absolutely. Thanks so much.
All right, man. Thank you. And passing the phone around here.
Okay. All right, we're gonna walk over to Sergio.
Yeah, I just want to see how Sergio's feeling.
By the way, Sergio, Steve has been kicked out of the car, and the girls are now in the car. So I'm going to pass the phone over to Sergio.
Well, of course they are.
Oh, Steve.
Sergio Lopez, Army Specialist, and a brand new 2016 Chevy Camaro owner. What do you think?
I'm very excited. I honestly don't have words anymore. I really am at a loss for words.
Well, you know, this all started with David Hochberg telling us about what the great work they do at the AFFI Warrior Program. So for the Chicago firefighters, the DeKalb firefighters, for David Hochberg, and mostly for you, Sergio, and the girls, Sophia and Sasha, congratulations. I hope you enjoy the car.
Thank you. And Dave, if I can, am I still on?
Yeah, you're here. And you talking to me or Hochberg?
Yeah, no, I'm talking to you.
Yeah.
Steve, sorry.
That's
right. I can't just take the time to quickly thank your listeners,
sure,
and everyone that's been contributing. And if they could please, you know, if I could ask them to maybe pass the word for us, and again, to thank them and thank you for your time and for your efforts.
Of course. Thank you, my friend. Nice to meet you and nice to call you, my friend. And that's Sergio, that's the family, and that's what they do. The DeKalb Firefighters Local 1236 AFFI Warrior Program. Would love you to donate. The Chicago firefighters as well, and David Hochberg. And look, the deal is pretty simple. You can go to WGNDavid.com, and he's got a donate button right there. And if you can follow through with a buck or more, great. 5, 10, 15. Hochberg put up the first 5,000. And once this car is paid for, it may be, they move on and do another one, because I think, I saw this on the list, I think they've done 21 vehicles. I'm sorry, 12 vehicles, 12 vehicles. They'll get to 21. But they've done 12 vehicles for vets so far. Pretty cool idea.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me, kiss me.
Hello, buddy.
Hello there.
How are you?
Survived the election? Get a chance to talk to you yesterday.
Yeah, well, look, you know, I didn't vote for him.
Apparently America is more important than my entertainment segment.
Yeah, how about that? No, I didn't vote for him, and I'm not a fan, but I fully support the man in the office. And until he doesn't deserve that support, I urge others to do the same. He got the gig. Now you got to support him.
I'm with you.
So, before we get to, well, let's get to that. You got a little Lady Gaga news.
She was one of the people protesting last night. We saw, you know, in cities all over America, people going on the street. And,
venting.
Well, you know, venting, but also they were a peaceful protest. I didn't hear of anything violent or anything like that. And, you know, in America, we all have, you know, the right to our opinions. We all have a right to peacefully protest.
That's the only exception to that is if you're blocking traffic and I'm in it.
Right. And if you are a protester wearing outfits made of cold cuts.
That's true.
Benjamin Franklin specifically made a provision.
No, here's the point as far as I'm concerned. Look, everybody's entitled to their emotions for this election. Believe me, nobody was more disappointed than me. Nobody was more wrong than me, apparently. But there was graffiti on public property, and there were some fire set and things. It was nothing major. But the point is, your message is going to be heard less if you're committing even misdemeanors.
Not taken as seriously. It's not taken as seriously. I mean, voice your opinion, but don't destroy other
people. Yeah, that's it. That's it. And Katy Perry was where?
Yeah, Katy Perry, Dean, I think you knew this too, was at Hillary headquarters when I was there in New York on Tuesday, and she spoke to the crowd. You know, when it was kind of, when everybody was waiting for Hillary to come on, before we knew what the results of the election would be, Katy Perry came out and spoke and said, look, she said, we're all rooting for the same person, obviously, and the crowd erupted in cheers. And she said, but my parents both voted for Donald Trump, and we will sit down together at the Thanksgiving table all together as a family.
There's going to be some interesting Thanksgiving conversations this year.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's, you know, the thing I mentioned yesterday that I'll continue to harp on is this. Trump's win is not an endorsement of his views that I believe are narrow-minded and dangerous. Mm-hmm. It's a guy that won an election. Whether or not his views turn into laws that affect the land is up to you and me and the people you elected to Congress. And for, I'll give a perfect example, Dean, the Electoral College. The Electoral College may well be an outdated concept.
Yes.
But the only way to change the Electoral College is to get rid of it. The only way to get rid of it is a constitutional amendment. Mm-hmm. Now, to get a constitutional amendment, because I know everybody remembers your civics class, you have to have two-thirds of Congress, that's the House and the Senate, both now controlled by Republicans, agree to put the amendment out to the states, and then three-quarters of the states have to approve it. With a Republican Senate and a Republican House, ain't going to happen.
No.
Did you learn that on Schoolhouse Rock?
Yeah, I just listened to it a little while ago.
He's just a bill.
There is one on Electoral College.
There is.
Here is.
For people who don't understand it.
You posted
Google it,
right,
Dean? I did post it.
I saw that.
Because I don't completely understand it. And it helps when it's in cartoon form for most people.
Here is the Hail Mary for Hillary supporters. And again, it's not going to happen, but I'm going to throw it out there and tell you. Donald Trump, I don't know if you know this, has been subject to saying some crazy things in the past. I know you guys aren't familiar with that, but he has.
What?
And some things that in a parallel universe would be, or the universe we used to live in, would have been disqualifying. If he says something completely off the beam, like more off the beam than ever, more outside the white lines than ever, the electors for the Electoral College don't vote until December. They are bound by law in most states to vote as they're designated to vote. In other words, if you're a state and 48 of them are, where the majority rules in all of Illinois, since Hillary won Illinois, all the electors for Illinois would vote for Hillary. However, there have been at least a couple who said they're not going to vote for Trump. So that's a minor insurrection. The problem she would still have, even in that Hail Mary, is math. Because there's a couple states that are still out, and until those states are declared, you won't have a final number. Not only would you have to get Trump below 270, mm-hmm. you'd have to get her from 226 or 30 or whatever she's at to 270.
To 270, right.
And you would negate the fact that his side won. And if you really want to see angry white people, that would set him off. But that's out there and being discussed on what you call your internets as well.
In the meantime, he's the winner right now. It's as Americans, it's in all of our best interests to try to make the country work.
I think what we need right now is a little music.
You're giving me a million reasons to let you go. You're giving me a million reasons to quit the show.
Lady Gaga.
She climbed up on a truck in Midtown Manhattan yesterday outside of Trump Tower and held up a sign that said, Love Trumps Hate.
I see what you did there.
On her Twitter account, she wrote, Stand up for kindness, equality, and love. Nothing will stop us.
I mean, she's entitled to protest just like everybody else.
And I got to say, because, you know, this is my area of showbiz. You know, people are trashing celebrities that express their opinions. They're American citizens like everyone else.
Exactly.
Celebrities are as entitled to voice their opinions, are as plumbers, are as any other occupation. They're just, you know, they're more in the public eye. You don't, they're not writing the Bible. They're just saying their opinions. You don't have to pay attention to them.
Famous people have moved more money in positive directions in this country than other sectors have. And the truth is, we all appreciate celebrities speaking up for us if they're saying what we think.
That's right.
And if they don't, then it's a problem.
Yeah, because, you know, if you've got, a Katy Perry on one side for Hillary Clinton, you've got a Ted Nugent on the other side.
Right.
Speaking for Donald Trump. There's celebrities on both sides. If you don't care about their opinions, don't care about their opinions.
Hey, let me tell you, Scott Baio.
I was just going to say.
Don't
forget Scott Baio.
I was going to say, you think this isn't a career boom for Scott Baio?
That's right.
Holy mackerel.
He's going to get a Lifetime movie out of this.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor.
Just received word that just seconds ago, from the voices in my head, that the photo gallery is up. Of the car giveaway a few minutes ago. So, Dean, I know you're busy being a TV star, but the Associated Firefighters Warrior Program gave a brand new car to Wounded Warrior Sergio Lopez and his family.
That's awesome.
So it was very cool.
And if you want to see a grown man cry, those photos are up. Oh, and Sergio was happy, too.
Why do you want me to tell you?
I'm an easy mark.
So congratulations to Sergio and his family, two beautiful daughters. Nice thing. So that photo gallery's up. Wherever you find me, at WGNRadio.com, the WGN Radio app, Twitter at Cochran Show, Facebook, Steve Cochran Show.
You do nice things.
We go to WGN David.
Wally. You're the Wally Phillips of the new generation.
School closings are coming up.
I couldn't even say that without laughing.
Yeah, you really couldn't, could you? WGNDavid.com is where you can go to donate it, and I certainly hope you will because they want to do cars for other vets as well. Last thing about politics for now, at least, we're taking texts all morning long on awkward situations you found yourself in because Trump's going to be at the White House with Obama today. So awkward, 312-981-7200.
More awkward for the president and president-elect, or more awkward Michelle Obama and Melania getting together?
I think it's Trump and the president. Yeah,
I saw someone on Facebook.
Don't
put,
you?
I think so too. Yeah, but I saw someone on Facebook put, "You guys will both appreciate this." One of their children asked them, "Does this mean now we don't have to eat healthy anymore?"
We're moving back to Chicago. We're going to eat what we want to eat.
Go back to fries for lunch. That's
funny. Here's one of the awkward texts, 847, Dean. I put on some weight, and a convenience store clerk asked if I was pregnant. I was so embarrassed, I said yes. I wasn't. It was carbs. So,
how does somebody say that to somebody?
Oh, it happens all the time.
Yeah, even if you think it.
Don't say
don't
it.
Don't ask a woman.
As a matter of fact, I'm so careful, I wait until the baby's 6 months old. Then I go, are you pregnant? Well, not anymore, idiot. Let's go through the list here. We got a couple of things to clear up. Brad Pitt.
Sources close to his pitness says that he's been cleared of the abuse charges. There's been an ongoing investigation. The Department of Children and Family Services in L.A. saying that there were abuse that he committed abuse against his 15-year-old son on that plane ride back in September. While the department is not saying anything official right now, sources close to him are saying that it's all been cleared up. No abuse was found. Divorce and custody and all that is proceeding.
Is Brad Pitt officially cleared the air on this new movie that he's doing, and he's not diddling with his co-star?
He's already said that he's...
You know, co-star diddling, it happens all the time.
In the diddle department, he's already said that there was not a relationship, and so has... Oh, I forgot we've got a French actress here. So has French actress Marianne Cotillard.
Marianne Cotillard, most famous.
I did not have an affair with Monsieur Pitt.
The Oscar winner, Marianne Cotillard.
She's already said that she got a man, and they've got children, and she's committed to him.
But listen,
I am committed to him.
This is Brad Pitt's move. Remember Mr. and Mrs. Smith? Mr. and Mrs. Smith, he's with Jennifer Aniston. Life's good. It's all puppies and rainbows and rolling around in their money. He goes and does Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Now he's with Angelina Jolie. Suddenly he's doing a movie. By the way, the same movie, right?
Doesn't
it's a very similar
like it,
movie.
Yeah.
It's spies.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a husband-wife spy
There's
thing again.
Nothing more exciting than that.
Yeah, and Marianne Cotillard. She protests homage. Marianne Cotillard.
You think?
She's the sexy, maybe Nazi double agent spy. Right? Isn't that the movie?
She says nothing's happening. I don't really know the plot line of it.
Is she claiming that she's not a spy or that she's not diddling Brad Pitt?
That there's no diddling.
Okay.
It's a diddle-less relationship, according to her.
Go Cubs Go made the billboards.
Yeah, we had that. Steve had that in the news. It debuted, this 1984 Steve Goodman song. Debuted on the Billboard charts this week at number 21.
Better late than never.
Because of Saturday Night Live and it being heard every place, it's now also a Billboard hit with a bullet.
Yeah. Ben Zobrist is a very laid-back, cool guy.
He is a cool guy. He was on Conan O'Brien last night. You know, I've missed these Cubs appearances. This election really got in the way of my obsession with Cubs players on TV shows that I've had. But thank goodness we're able to get back on track with that. He was on Conan last night. Really good interview. Andy Richter, sidekick on the show, is a huge Cubs fan. He's from the Chicago area. Huge Cubs fan. But they showed a picture of Zobrist riding his in uniform, riding his bike to the ballpark, and Conan asked him about it.
You weren't trying to be a wise guy or anything. You just said, "Oh, I'll take my bike to the park." Is that right?
Yeah. Well, that's my son Zion with me, and yeah, full uniform. I mean,
now you were hit by a bus a little bit later.
I do like
you
riding
no
my
helmet.
Bike to the field. I'm not that far from the field, so. Being in Wrigleyville, it just kind of feels like, man, this would be fun to ride my bike. I did it several times during the season, but never in my uniform. So I'm like, you know what? One day I'm just going to, like a little kid, take my uniform home, put it on, put my glove on the handle, and ride to the field and feel like I'm going to the Sandlot again, you know?
That's nice. That's yeah. Nice. It would ruin it if on the way home he put it in the back of his solid gold Hummer. It would just ruin the whole,
yeah,
you know,
right, right.
And you threw bills out right. the window, right, dollar
right. bill. Funny. Conan was funny. Zobrist was great. It was all good.
He's just chill, though, isn't he? I mean, he just laid
totally.
Back.
Conan completely so, relaxed in these situations.
Like anything makes him nervous? Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we have a veterans concert that we're co-promoting through Channel 9
we are.
This weekend. So yeah. What's the deal?
Big show. It's going to be at the Rosemont Theater, not the Rosemont Horizon, but the theater. This coming Saturday night, it's called America Salutes You. Cyndi Lauper, Gavin DeGraw, Wanda Jackson, Hoodie Allen, CC Winans, Ricky Skaggs, among others. Jim Cornelison is going to be there to sing the national anthem. David Eigenberg from Chicago Fire is going to be there.
And Drayson, the MC?
He is the MC.
Is Tom on tomorrow, Sandberg?
I believe
yes,
he is.
Yes, he's on tomorrow
I
with
believe
us.
He is, yeah, because I talked to him last night and he told me he was going to. Be visiting with you, so you'll hear more about that. But get your tickets now for the show. It's going to be a really cool show, and it's all to benefit veterans and military charities and their families and so forth. Really cool thing Saturday night at the Rosemont Theater. Steve, you're probably asking yourself, you know, it sounds like a great thing. How can I get tickets?
I was just wondering that, and I have my pen. I'm ready to write.
It's there's a special website, which is mm-hmm. Is AmericaSalutesYou.org.
America Salutes Me?
Well, America Salutes You.
Uh-huh.
Y-O-U, not the letter. America Salutes You.
Yes.
.org, uh-huh. Or through your Ticketmaster.
All right, cool.
So I
very
get
nice.
Tickets for that.
Thank you, buddy.
See you.
That's Dean. Back with your big story next, 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
With seven, with six, driving, stops, puts up a jumper for the tie. No good. The rebound, put it back up. Yes. Got it! With 1/10 of a second.
You know, the busiest man in show business is Dave Ennett. We're on the eve of Northwestern basketball. So will you be abandoning the football team?
No, I won't be abandoning the football team. I won't be abandoning either team.
You're going to do both?
I will do both.
And you'll still do this show?
I'll still do this show, except I'll be on the road a couple days next week.
All right. But your number one priority is still me?
Steve, my number one priority in all facets of my life is you.
That's very nice of you.
Thank
I appreciate
you.
That's
that.
A little weird.
No, it really was.
It's kind of dedication I'm
tell my
for.
Wife.
And joining us now on the phone on the eve of Northwestern basketball, my favorite D1 coach ever, Chris Collins. Chris Collins. And Chris, welcome back to the program. How are you, buddy?
How's it going, Steve? I was listening to you rattle off all of Dave's responsibilities, and mm-hmm. there's no one else that can pull all that off and do it to his level like Dave Ennett.
You know how he does it? Chiclets. Remember the gum Chiclets? He just pounds
it. A little yellow packet.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Is that the formula? Yeah. I must be doing it under the table because I never see him break them out.
Sugar buzz like nobody's business.
Yeah.
You had a great year last year. You had some injuries. You had a rough stretch there. But, I mean, this season feels right, pal. It feels right. I got a good feeling about you and the boys.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. We open up tomorrow night. Gonna have a couple home games here, one tomorrow Friday and a Monday. And we have a really good non-conference schedule with some tough opponents in our way, which I think will really help us get better. And I just like our group. There's a good vibe and a lot of veterans that have been around and been through the ups and downs. And just excited to see where we can head with this guy, with these guys.
20 wins a year ago, program record for the regular season. You have most of your guys coming back this year, including Bryant McIntosh, your outstanding point guard, who you believe is the best in the Big Ten. And I know there are a lot of people wondering, Chris, how you take that next step, because you've been close, you've been right there. How do you get them to the point, and still with a young group, where you get a few more wins to get you where you're trying to go?
I really think it's a mindset. You know, you look at the teams that have consistently done it, the accomplished programs that have the culture of winning, and, you know, invariably during the season, there's going to be 5, 6, 7 games that are going to hang in the balance with 4 minutes to go, 3 minutes to go, and it's right there. And can you dig down and be tough enough and confident enough to know that you got to win those games? And certainly for us, you know, last year, as good of a season as we had, I thought there were 5 or 6 games that we had to take. And, you know, we came up a little bit short. And, you know, I think our guys have worked really hard. I think our confidence has grown. And now I'd like for them to just take the floor with an expectation of winning versus a hope of winning. And, you know, I think that's the fine line where we're at. And, you know, if we can get to that point and stay healthy and play well, then, you know, I think we have a chance to accomplish all of our goals.
Steve, I was watching these guys practice yesterday, and you know how sometimes a team just looks different?
Yeah.
These guys look different. They look bigger. There's more of them. You know, you just kind of sense a maturity.
Early
there.
Gel. Did you get a little early gel from them? Feel like they're already gelling?
I feel good about it. I knew it was ready to time to start playing some games when I saw Dave walk in the gym.
Yeah.
So it got me excited, and I said, basketball season is here, and you know, it's like Dave said, though, we, over the past 3 years, this is my fourth year now. So we've tried to each year just add a couple more good players. And, you know, if you can go about your business and develop guys that you have within your program and each year in recruiting, kind of add a couple more guys, then, you know, after a few years, you look like you have a good team. And, you know, I think that's where we're at right now. And, I'm excited to see what we can do. It's a good time, and, you know, we need to get off to a good start. These early season games, people don't realize, you know, how important it is in November and December to play well, to set yourself up, you know, for the conference season and what you want to do in terms of being in the mix for postseason at the end.
Everybody plays better in front of a full house. We know the students will turn out, but for fans who go, you know what, we're not that far from Evanston, we ought to go to a Northwestern basketball game this year. What's the best way for fans to get tickets?
Well, you can always get it through, you know, our website, nusports.com. You know, people are always readily available. There's tickets. You know, it's exciting to see, though, year in and year out, how, you know, we've been able to continue to pack the house. I think the crowds these last couple years have been great, especially last year. You know, we always fought in the past, you know, at times, even when we got into our conference, where there's so many grads from other Big Ten schools in Chicago that, you know, it'd be like a 50-50 crowd with us versus the road alumni in the building. And that started to change, which is good. You know, it's starting to get a lot of purple in there. And, you know, and we got a new facility on the way, too. This is the last year of Welsh Ryan Arena as we know it now. So it's kind of a special year to come to the old building and hopefully have a great home schedule. A lot of Big Ten opponents. We got Wake Forest coming in early December, DePaul, which is always a good local rivalry. So some good games to come out. I think you guys are going to enjoy watching this team. They're good guys. They play hard. There's good energy. And it's just a great family night. It's easy to get to the games. It's fun. You know, we have a smaller arena, so everything, all the action's right on top of you. And it's a great night for the family to come out and enjoy some good basketball.
And, Dave, one more from you?
Well, they're going to play, I believe, 7 games in the month of November. And what, today is 2 weeks from Thanksgiving. So this
a lot of games early.
This is going to be an awful lot of games here, and even more, I think, in the next 2 weeks. Right, Coach?
Yeah, we have, starting tomorrow, we have 5 games in 10 days.
Wow.
So you jump out of the gates and you play a lot early. So there's no real time to kind of be figuring it out. You got to be ready to go. And you know, for us, five of the games and 3 of them are in different cities. We have 2 home games. We're playing at Butler next Wednesday. And then Over Thanksgiving week, we'll be in Brooklyn playing in a great tournament with Texas, Notre Dame, and Colorado. So it's going to be a fast and furious start. And I know our guys are excited and ready to go and looking forward to seeing what we can do.
Good news is, and Coach didn't want me to bring this up yet because it's not finalized, but I'm up for a position with the team.
Oh, is that right? What position
is
this?
Coach has a great coaching staff, as you know.
Yeah, outstanding.
But based on my relationship with Coach Collins, assistant coach in charge of horse.
I thought so.
Yeah.
We're talking about it.
After watching you shoot, though, I've kind of relegated you more towards head water boy.
Head water boy is not bad. But here's the negotiation. I don't know why I wouldn't go for this. If I can't be in charge of horse, maybe we just shoot vowels. Like an A, an E, an I, or R, and E.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's not Wheel of Fortune. That's more your game.
Yeah. I could pop you an A, an E, an I, an O, or U.
Is that a rematch, by the way, Coach?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
There's one coming.
It's coming.
For sure.
It was ugly. It wasn't pretty. You know, I'm one of these guys.
About?
I'm not.
What
I'm
are
like
you talking about? You got Cat. No listen. Didn't I lead you C-Zip?
I don't know about
Yeah, you did.
Yes.
You did.
Yes, I led you C-Zip. But part of the reason was you hadn't shot yet.
Oh, man. I got to get to work if I'm getting letters off of you.
That's exactly right. He actually spotted me C and A, and I still only ended up with C. Mm-hmm. Coach, listen, it's going to be a great year, and we're always excited to remind folks that we're your partner in all of this and that Dave will be calling the games.
No, I appreciate you guys having me on. You know, always love having some fun and love what you guys do for our program with your coverage. And hopefully we'll have a great year. Looking forward to visiting a lot during this season.
You bet. But Coach Chris Collins from Northwestern Wildcats, and he didn't get a chance to say go Cats there. You want to do it for him?
Go Cats.
There you go.
Cats.
The Steve Cochran Show.
This is something you've heard me say time and again. 7 out of 10 Americans, they do not like the direction our country is going. Many of our fellow citizens feel alienated and have lost faith in our core institutions. They don't feel heard, and they don't feel represented by those in office. But Donald Trump heard a voice out in this country that no one else heard. He connected in ways with people no one else did. He turned politics on its head. And now, Donald Trump will lead a unified Republican government.
Okay. I guess so. That's Paul Ryan. And Paul Ryan, the Speaker of the House, would like to continue to be Speaker of the House. For the sake of his own credibility, he's got to balance the suck up a little bit. But he does want to be able to work with Trump, and now Trump's got the gig. As I mentioned, Trump and the president, president-elect and president, meeting today at the White House for the first time. Awkward encounters you've had. Probably not as awkward as this, but send yours in. Got a couple here. Let's see. Awkward moment. My wife's husband at the time came home, caught us naked on his couch.
What?
She was not my wife at the time. We eventually got married.
Oh, okay.
So they were having an affair.
So do people think if it turns out okay, then it's okay?
Well, for the sake of winning eventually. A pizza or something, of course, yeah. 847, awkward is when I told my future mother-in-law that I didn't need her, a drunk, to help pick out the dress I was going to wear to a family bridal shower she was throwing for us. And then when we got there, I had to sit down to dinner with her next to her.
The drunk?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like how he puts that in.
So, you look pretty. Awkward encounters, awkward meetings you've had, 312-981-7200, couple of minutes before 9. Here's what we seem to know a day and a half out from the election. This was the perfect storm that allowed Donald Trump to achieve the impossible. That, quote, inside straight. Yes, it was the perfect storm of that. To achieve that inside straight, to take the states that were guaranteed to be a lock for Democrats and to win. At this point, it still has Hillary Clinton in a lead for the popular vote. And, well, people go, well, why doesn't she win then? The Electoral College still rules the day. Now, this could be, depending on your definition, an antiquated idea or the right idea. And this could really depend on party, because the two people that is affected most are 16 years apart. One is Al Gore. One is now Hillary Clinton. The difference in the Gore race was Florida was still undecided, and the presidential electoral number needed to be tipped by Florida.
And the Supreme Court actually kind of gave the final
yes.
go ahead for that.
And when Gore could have asked for a recount, he chose not to for the good of the country, which he ought to be saluted for. In this case, it wasn't about a recount because Trump's electoral lead was huge. Now, you may be saying, well, hold on a second. How could you win the popular vote and get crushed electorally? Well, the way the electoral map works is you are given electors who vote in December for the final word on the presidential election based on the size of your state, but specifically based on how many representatives you have in Congress. For instance, Wyoming and Delaware have one congressperson.
Yes.
So to make it a little more fair, they end up with three representatives, two senators plus one, three in all. You add up all the electors, and it comes down to a total where you have to have 270 to win. Right. 270 to 269, that would be enough to win. Trump is somewhere around 290 now.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on how the final states go, we won't know the final tally. 300 is considered an electoral blowout. If you want the Electoral College to go away, you have to have an amendment to the Constitution. Not easy to do. So part two of the perfect storm was Hillary Clinton, establishment candidate who's been around for 30 years and just isn't that likable. I think her behavior has created some of this. I also think the hatred that was exhibited towards her by those who said they hated her was unreasonable and a little nuts. So she becomes a victim of her own bad moves, her own lying, which she did plenty of, compounded by stories about it that led to her being just patently unlikable. So unlikable that your team, females,
yeah.
who are terrible to other females in general, mm-hmm. certainly didn't line up to support her.
I completely agree.
One of the questions that is out there is should she have campaigned harder on the fact that she'd be the first woman and therefore a historical candidate? She brought it up at the convention in her acceptance speech. She didn't bring it up much at all after that. So she didn't lean on the female thing, which frankly, I think she should have. But again, that's Monday morning quarterbacking.
Yeah.
The other problem is Donald Trump is a candidate unlike anybody we've ever seen. At a time where being famous is more important than having experience, he was able to use Hillary's lack of likability along with a message. And don't for a minute try to convince me that this was a strategy. Donald Trump doesn't strategize. He gets up in the morning and starts yapping. His beliefs, incredibly, happen to align at the right time with a group of people in this country that have been put under one umbrella as angry white old guys. And it's not that. It's a lot of people who are underpaid, who haven't gotten a raise forever and are mad.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a right to be mad. And they have a right to feel like they're left out of the system. Those people are different than KKK members and racists and people that also align themselves with Trump. They're not the same people. The people I'm describing deserve to have their views heard, deserve to feel the way they feel, and they identified more with him than with her. So much so that they were able to bite their lips and their tongues and look the other way on the fact that he may not be a person they wanted to spend any time with and disagreed with so many things he said, including the bus conversation with Billy Bush, but they picked him over her.
Mm-hmm.
And more of them showed up than more of her folks. Democrats showed up in record low numbers. I think this was the lowest voter turnout in total in 20-plus years.
Isn't that crazy? And look at all of the early voting records that were set.
Right.
I mean, it's absolutely, it's an enigma.
So if you went in on election day and you had a line, you were the exception to the rule. Because around the country, we now know that millennials, Hispanics, and black Democrats did not show up to vote in anything close to the numbers they needed to show up to vote.
Right. And that's why I didn't buy the argument that ABC had reported that non-college educated white men put this election over the top. I think it's exactly what you said. Women didn't show up, African-American voters didn't show up, and the millennials didn't show up, which
right.
is ironic because of the whole platform of this election.
So we'll find some time to talk about Obamacare at some point because that is one of the promises you have to be wondering if he's going to keep, and also the cabinet positions, which have to have Senate approval, and does Donald Trump have 15 friends because he needs 15 to fill out the cabinet? We'll get to all of that. And are there responsible Republicans and we're going to sign up to work for them?
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Tomorrow on the show, Veterans Day. Live from the 3rd Annual Veterans Hiring and Resource Fair at Navy Pier's Crystal Gardens. It's tomorrow from 6 to 10. Sandberg's here. Any special guests I should be plugging?
Well, there's a lot of people
you're going to, I don't
Tom
know
Dreesen.
Her title. Yes. And we're having a service woman on who's named Wendy Snyder, not Wendy Snyder, who does the afternoon show here.
Wendy Snyder, the government official.
Yes. Yes. She's coming in. But yes, Jane Lynch, Tom Dreesen.
Oh, I forgot Jane Lynch is coming.
Yeah,
Jane
she's
Lynch.
Coming there too. Yeah. So
Jane Lynch will be there tomorrow.
Yes.
Tom Dreesen will be there tomorrow. And yes. A couple of our charity friends as well.
Yes.
And Dreesen plugging the big concert on Saturday night at the Rosemont Theater that Channel 9's helping to promote. But anyway, get all that tomorrow. And if you are a military person and looking for work, over 20 local companies are hiring vets and active duty military. Go to WGNradio.com/events. It's sponsored by Fifth Third Bank and Career Builder. Patty Vasquez here. Will you plug this tonight for us?
Yes, absolutely.
On your show?
Thanks. Yep, my pleasure.
We got a minute here because Mark DiCarlo's late for his appearance on the show. Sandberg is
That's a theme with a lot of your comedian friends.
Hey!
Actually, you've never been late.
She's not late because she just stays all hours. Like, so
cheating.
But Patty Vasquez, I don't think you've ever been late for an appearance with me.
I don't think so either.
Yeah, how are you, by the way?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good. Do you know the legend of Sandberg?
I do not know the legend of Sandberg. Uh-oh. Tell me the legend of Sandberg.
Sandberg is direct.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Occasionally we have around to tell Sandberg stories. But it's always entertaining because she lives in a world that none of the rest of us live in. So
I run a tight ship.
Yes.
Yeah, as you should.
Can I just defend Mary Sandberg Boyle, Comcast Sportsnet, for 1 second?
Yeah.
I was leaving on Tuesday. I was for the election, right?
Oh, well, you're the worst.
I know. Right? She's direct. And I did the big story, and she's like, you need to leave. You have a flight. I said, no, I know, Mary. I'm good. Finally, she gets up, kind of pulls the chair out, and went, leave for the airport.
She's like dilly-dallying and has like a flight. I mean,
and how close
did
thank
you?
How close
it was
did you
raining
cut?
Out too.
It was so. Raining, so thank you. So I appreciate the directness.
By the way, what drives you more nuts? Anything that goes on at your house or me leaving the office?
Ooh, this is tough.
Because Patty, you've seen this. You've walked out with me where I stop at 14 offices on the way to the elevator.
There's a lot. It's your chance to see people in the office. You know, yeah. Stay
he'll
in
make
touch.
An announcement that he's leaving, and I'm like, are you Cochran leaving or are you leaving? Because I'll walk out with you if you're leaving. But
right.
If you're Cochran leaving, we're going to go our separate ways because he's going to take 45
direct.
Minutes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So. Direct. That's
Cochran
all.
Leaving.
Direct.
Yeah.
Think empty Diet Coke box sitting in the laundry room.
Yeah.
Yes.
So along those lines, you know, we've had, between the Cubs and the election, we've had a lot of sleepless nights, you know, because we get up so early. And so I'm on short sleep. So I understand that I'm, you know, not my normal calm self at home.
Ah! Hold on a second. I just want to say that for your husband. Ah! All right.
And so yesterday I was unloading the dishwasher. And we have two. Our dishwasher has a top and a bottom. You can run them separately. So sometimes not everything is put back because they're still dirty. You know, you have to wait to fill them up or whatever.
Wait a second. Top and a bottom you run separately.
It's like two drawers. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
It's supposed to be, I think, more efficient. Except
how
for we
holds my dishwasher.
We only use the top one because Pat doesn't like bending over. So I'm like, you know, we have to use them evenly because
typical TV guy doesn't like bending over. Don't we have somebody who could bend over for me?
Well, because he's tall, I think. But
oh,
if
I'm
we
sure
don't, we
it.
Use the top. Mm-hmm. 20 times more than the bottom. So, but when the top breaks, we're going to have to replace both. So this drives me crazy, but mm-hmm. That's a separate issue. So I was putting away glasses and we have two different sizes of stemless wine glasses that we don't, Pat uses to make his margaritas actually.
How many alcoholics do you have in the house?
Just one.
Okay. Got it.
And I was putting them in there and you can imagine my glasses are very organized. And I'm like, hey, did we break a glass? Because I can see the inventory of glasses, and
oh, God.
There's only seven of the larger stemless wine glasses, and I had nine because that's when we bought them. You know, they fit in the cabinet, and he's like, no, and I'm like, I'm looking, and you know, I look in both dishwashers, and there's like no other dirty glass. So
this is now a full 911 crisis.
Yeah,
at your
where
house.
Is this glass? I go to Catherine's room because sometimes she brings a beverage into the room and doesn't take it out. You know.
By the way, we
it.
Should indicate Catherine is 13.
12 and a half.
12 and a half, and that beverage out. Would not be wine.
No, she would put in the light Minute Maid lemonade.
Yeah,
that's
okay.
What she likes to put
okay.
in there. So he's like, no, and then you know, I'm not letting it go, and I'm like, because I wouldn't have bought seven. I didn't buy seven glasses because that's like not.
Can
a normal
you literally
number.
Look in your your what is it cabinet or whatever it is
mm-hmm.
Can you literally look in and see that the glass is missing?
Oh gosh, yeah, because they're lined up.
Please you have
it
to
goes 1 2 3 1 2 1 2. I've only got seven right now.
Doesn't this remind you of, remember Mommy Dearest, Is that a wire hanger? Is that a wire hanger in the closet?
It goes 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 1, 2. All right, continue.
So I could. The look on his face is like, I know he knows I'm so tired and it doesn't make sense that I'd be this, where's this glass? Mm-hmm. And then a little bit later he goes, you know, like 10 months ago, I think we broke one. You know, like he's, poor guy's racking his brain trying to find, think about what happened to number 8 and 9.
He's petrified because the warden has caught him.
I know. And I could feel, I felt so crazy, but I couldn't stop it from coming out.
Right. And what did you say in the end?
I was like, it's no big deal. But
as
I really didn't mean
to the floor
it.
Weeping.
Right. I didn't mean that it was no big deal,
which
but
means
I knew
it's
that
a
I
huge
was,
deal.
Right. But I knew I was wrong. I mean, I felt I was wrong, but I couldn't control myself.
She's becoming like me. It's okay. It's not a problem.
Yeah,
I'm not mad.
So I shook it off.
Yeah, I mean, I talk Andre off the ledge all the time. Why don't you call me? I could have talked you off the ledge and saved
Steve,
Pat.
I've got a problem. I'm obsessing about number 8 and number 9 that are missing.
It's more like a drill sergeant, not really a warden.
Yeah, so yeah. Anyway.
Can I just say for your benefit, she's direct.
Yes.
Okay? Yeah, I don't want you getting in trouble off the air.
I made my flight. Hey.
Thank God you're alive. I'm talking to Pat now. It's 9:21. Mark DiCarlo and his hot wife are here. Stand by for that. First, sponsored by HearingHealthCenter.com. Time for Walter Jacobson. Walter.
Big names this week in American politics. Nationwide, Donald Trump. In Illinois, Bruce Rauner, who was not on a ballot, but in campaigns is big money. Spending it like it's never been spent before. Not in the 50 years I've been covering politics. In the past just 1 year, Governor Rauner has spent $46 million of his own money paying for his war on the Illinois General Assembly, his own private war against the Speaker of the Assembly, Mike Madigan. $46 million on top of $27 million he spent just 2 years ago to get himself elected. That's $70 million of his own money to launch and advance a career in politics aimed at replacing Madigan as boss of Illinois government. His own money is how we in the media describe it. But in truth, isn't it Rauner's family money for supporting his family, his wife Diana, and their 6 children? Family money for college tuitions, graduate schools and marriages, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and family crises? $70 million of Rauner family money that Papa Rauner's been spending on Papa's personal politics. He can say he earned the money during his hedge fund days and can spend it however he wants to. Yes, he can. But I wonder, what is it for him in Illinois politics that's worth $70 million? I'm Walter Jacobson, and that's my perspective. For more, visit WGNplus.com.
Mark DiCarlo's here, and nice to see you. How are you?
Still in shock, Steve.
Over?
The Cubs won the World Series.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't blame you. That was shocking.
I got so hammered last week, and I went to bed Monday night, and I literally just woke up. Has anything happened?
Boy, that
was
a party. No, it's been a slow week.
Oh, good.
No news. No news whatsoever.
Oh.
I'm still doing the Shirley Temples and the grape knee highs and all the things you're known for.
Yeah.
Radar.
Yeah.
First off, congratulations on the Cubs. I know this meant more to you than just about anybody. From the time you were a little boy and your little boy Ron Santo or Ernie Banks outfit.
That's right.
Uni. Yeah. Who did you think of first when they got the last out?
I thought of Ronnie. My grandparents and my Uncle Don and Ron Santo.
Yeah.
Can you just imagine the gleeful joy?
He'd still be yelling.
Oh, man!
He would still be. He'd be yelling. Now. We talked to Ron Jr. and Jeff over the course of a couple of days. And, you know, just as a tribute to the family as well. But, yeah, I thought of him, too. I missed the opportunity to see him see that.
Yeah, I was in Wrigley for the clinching game against the Dodgers. And that was amazing.
B-A-N-A-N-A-S? Was it bananas?
It was a group of bananas.
Yeah.
And then we were in Wrigleyville for the game Sunday when they won, and then I had to go back to Los Angeles, so we watched the game back there.
Oh, I had tickets for you for the World Series.
You're dead to me.
No, he did not.
Did I not call? Oh, what a bad move by me. Okay, so did they repeat?
What's going to stop them?
Well, there are 29 other teams.
Yeah, we did this without Kyle Schwarber. So let's add that bat in, right? Mm-hmm. Let's say Jason Hayward hits 250 next year.
He'll be better next year.
He can't be worse,
no,
right?
I mean,
you think he's definitely on a team, Dave?
Oh, I think so. Yeah, and
you can't trade him now at this point.
No, it's a bad contract. I don't think you can. And I think that
he's going to devote the offseason to fixing his swing. And look, I mean, there's nothing wrong with his defense. You're only talking about, and he's been a hitter.
Right.
So it's just trying to recapture what he used to have.
And, you know, he was the guy that called that meeting during the rain delay.
Mm-hmm.
You're a sports guy. How we always hear about...
You're a sports guy. He's the sports
right.
guy.
Right. Well, let me ask.
When you pat him on the head, you're a sports guy. No. You're talking to Dave
Ennett.
It's
okay. I didn't take any of...
I'm talking Dave Ennett, sports legend.
Yes. He is the Orion Samuelson
okay,
of sports.
Okay, let's not go crazy.
Oh, wow.
We always hear about chemistry and cohesive... How... Evidently, that's more important than the layperson thinks.
I think it's huge, but there's one ingredient.
Even when you're making millions of dollars,
I think it is.
I could play next to a guy I hated for $20 million.
And there have been a lot of teams that have been successful without that element, that have hated each other and they've still won.
Uh-huh.
Remember, the one guy who's going to be missing from this next year is David Ross.
Maybe he comes back as a coach.
What do you mean, maybe? He said he's retired.
Well, no, but he might come back as
a coach. Yeah, I think it'd still be different.
And,
by the way, your wife just dozed off in this conversation.
Yeah, I know she did. No, she was actually getting into the Cubs games, the World Series.
Yeah, well, it's exciting.
At first, she just kind of indulged me, but the last few games of the World Series, she was actually excited about it. And, you know...
Well, I thought about you right after I thought about Ron Santo. Ron Santo, then you.
Please think of him first.
9:30, back with our friend Mark DiCarlo, who's got an event in town, and he wants to give you tickets to it. He'd also like you to buy a few. Stand by for that on 720 WGN. Back with the big story next. 9:43, live from the club. Are you speaking for your lovely wife?
Yes.
Does she have a bunch of show business projects you should plug?
Yeah, we're still doing our Fork on the Road travel show. And I'm here in town doing the Rewind Convention out in beautiful Bloomingdale, Illinois, at the Hilton out there.
What is the Rewind Convention?
It's a convention of television people. Alan Thicke's going to be there, the 90210 guys, Joey Fatone. I'm going to be there.
Joey Fatone's a good guy.
He is a good
Funny
guy.
Funny guy.
He is. Megan Cavanaugh from Jimmy Neutron, Carolyn Hennessy from ABC's General Hospital. So it's like a convention. People come and we're doing panels and...
meet some celebrities?
Yeah.
Will you be there?
Yes.
When will you be there?
I'm going to be there Saturday and Sunday all day.
Okay.
Oh, you're with all the 90210s people there.
Right?
Jason Priestley, Luke Perry.
Uh-huh. It's going to be fun. I did a film with my good friend Luke Perry, a little thing we like to call Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Mm-hmm.
There's a movie? Buffy movie?
Before the series, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Well,
where were you? Were you a vampire?
You should come to the convention then, Steve.
Were you Slade?
I was the basketball coach of the team. On one of the guys on the team was Matt Damon.
Did you have a lot of lines?
I opened the film. Yeah.
What's one of your lines? Give me one of your lines now. And action.
Come on, everybody. All we got to do is pull together. If we all pull together, then we can win.
So your part was worst coach ever?
Exactly. My subtext was, here's a basketball coach that knows nothing about basketball.
Okay.
And on the little drawing board, my whiteboard, I just had a picture of a pyramid, an all-seeing eye, and an infinity sign.
Oh, good. Good.
Like a Zen coach.
Let's run that.
I know you guys are big movie stars, but do you remember your lines from all of your films?
Well, it's not hard for me because my lines usually were two or three.
What was the last film that you appeared in, Steve?
That's a good question. I forget the order, but my five films that I appear in, you could see that Steve Cochran Film Festival. In other words, my scenes, and easily be out in 2.5-3 minutes.
Nice.
Yeah.
And do you always play Steve Cochran
No, not at all. As a matter of fact, I've never played that because I refuse to be typecast. I played waiter number 2.
Ooh, that's the good one.
Yeah, it was the good one. That's exactly
because
right.
The first waiter takes the order. And then there's a problem. Then you're the guy that comes. Is there a problem here? Let me hear your line as waiter number 2. And action.
I'm not your monkey. I play a drug thug. I beat up Stephen Baldwin.
Nice. Drug thug 1, 2, 3, 4. Is there a number?
We weren't numbered.
Okay.
No. Let me think. The weatherman and grumpy old men. The
obviously.
First one, the funny one, the best one.
Right.
That's clearly the role of a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And what am I?
Disoriented curmudgeon number 4.
No, that's what I do here.
Oh.
Yeah. Little Big League, I was a reporter in the locker room.
That's kind of typecasting.
What?
Well, kind of.
What?
You're reporting on the day's news here in your own circus.
And how have I forgotten the fifth movie?
Mm. There were five. Grumpy Old Men.
You know, when you're
the
only
one with Nicolas Cage.
You only had five movies. No, how could you not know?
The one with Nicolas Cage.
No, I wasn't in a movie with Nicolas Cage.
Oh, okay. Wrong guy. That was Ennett.
Yeah.
The Weatherman with Skilling? Yeah, that's probably what he's thinking of. I don't know. I've forgotten the fifth movie. When you have a film career like mine, it's hard to remember all of them.
Sure.
Yeah.
Al Pacino has the same problem.
How many
movies
have you done?
I don't know. Maybe 10?
Oh, look, we're out of time. So the Rewind Convention. You have tickets to give away?
I do.
All right. Now, hold on a second. How are the listeners going to get the tickets? Can I give them your hotel room?
We'll take their name. We could do like a little trivia contest.
No, I don't. We'll do
if
that.
If they want to buy tickets, they go to rewindcon.com.
Whoa, settle down there, Adderall.
How are we going to give them away is the question, Steve.
Yes, how are they going to get them?
I'll handle it. Can't we just get their information off the air?
You get their names, but then what, is there a will call list?
Will call list, or I'll personally deliver the tickets to their home.
All right, that seems fair.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so you got a trivia question?
I thought you had them.
Well, I got a Blackhawks question from the great Doc Emmerich.
Is there a better? There's certainly no better hockey announcer. A better sports announcer?
I think he's the best. Period.
He gets all the Russian names right. He uses verbs to move the action. The puck is ladled up the boards, shoveled,
skedaddled, skittered, skeetered.
I love listening to him.
All right, so Dave, here's a question because you brought up the Gordie Howe hat trick.
Yes,
and this is from Doc Emmerich.
Okay,
Doc texted me this morning.
Can you do it in Doc's voice?
No, because I would never even. I mean, it almost sounds like blasphemy.
It would be disrespectful.
According to the records of the time, and they're a little dicey, how many Gordie Howe hat tricks, which again, Dave, define a Gordie Howe hat trick?
A point, an assist, and a fight.
A goal, an assist.
Yeah, a goal, an assist,
you get
and
a goal,
fight.
Assist, and a fight in one game.
Yes.
How many Gordie Howe hat tricks did Gordie Howe have?
Oh, that's a good question.
Okay. And all of the correct answers. Up to what? You want to give away 10,000 tickets? How many tickets do you want to give
10,000
away?
10,000 is good.
How many do you want to give away? Three pair? Four pair? Four pair?
Four, sure.
Four pair of tickets. The first four correct answers. At three.
But how do we stop people from Googling this and calling in?
We don't. They could call Doc Emmerich.
This is rigged. Steve, this whole contest is rigged. I'm not promising to abide by the results of this trivia contest.
Yes, you are. 312-981-7200. How many Gordie Howe hat tricks?
Is it a trick question?
Did Gordie Howe have?
Well, yeah, because technically I'm not going to say that because that's going to mess everything. I'm going to complicate things. We'll say it.
So a regular hat trick does not count as a Gordie Howe hat trick.
That's the point. It's a Gordie Howe hat trick. A goal, an assist, and a fight.
Although
that's
if Gordie scored three goals in a game, that's technically
so
a Gordie Howe.
You're so close to having your microphone unplugged.
That's
right?
That's what I stopped myself from saying, Mark.
It's 9:49 because Mark is such a terrific guest. We are going to cancel the Wing Dang Doodle picks until tomorrow.
What?
Yeah, we're going to push them tomorrow.
That disrespects Coco Taylor and Willie Dixon.
Which means we will not include the Thursday night game in the festivities.
All right, good.
And mostly because Cleveland's involved in the game.
Could there be a worse game than the Thursday night football game?
Yeah. Is it what?
It's horrible. The
Cleveland and Baltimore tonight.
Right. Yeah. All right. Hey, how's everybody doing?
That's what you're
it's,
angry
It's 9:50. We'll come back. The Gordie Howe hat trick. How many Gordie Howe hat tricks did Gordie Howe have? First four correct answers, 312-981-7200, and a couple more minutes left with Mark. Is it DiCarlo?
It is.
On 720 WGN. 9:53, Bill and Wendy at 10. Mark DiCarlo's here. For all things Mark DiCarlo, if you don't know where he lives or you don't have a cell phone, how do they follow you?
Just find me on Facebook, Mark DiCarlo TV, or on Twitter, at Mark DiCarlo.
The show you're at is called the Rewind Convention?
Rewind Con. It's going to be a blast.
And it's where and when?
It's at Bloomingdale, Illinois, at the Hilton there, Indian Lakes Hilton, and it's all weekend long.
All right, and you'll be there when?
I'll be there all day Saturday and all day Sunday, hosting a bunch of panels. Signing stuff and making with the funny.
Okay.
Yeah, making with the funny.
I love when you turn into an old Jewish lady.
It's hard to be funny this week, Steve. I haven't felt very funny the last couple of days.
Well, that's great. You haven't been that funny today, so nothing's new. All right, so here's the deal. The question, and nobody's a bigger hockey fan than you. Used to play that big star hockey
thing. I do. I love the hockey.
And who's in that league in L.A.?
Cuba Gooding Jr., Michael Rosenbaum, Jerry Bruckheimer. You know what? Ryan Dempster used to play with us all the time.
And Mark DiCarlo. How many Gordie Howe hat tricks did Gordie Howe have? A fight, a goal, and an assist in one game. This is from our friend Doc Emmerich, NBC Sports, the greatest hockey man of all time. Hockey player, but Vince Scully of hockey. He's phenomenal.
Easily, yeah.
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 The correct answer is two.
What?
Two.
No.
One in 1953, one in 1954, both Detroit versus Toronto.
What? And he got a thing named after him?
He got a thing named after him.
What a they named a thing after you for something you only did twice?
They do the Cochran nap. Yeah, that's a thing. Yeah,
I think you've napped more than twice.
I have, but I have napped in Toronto as well, so I got that going for me. So we have winners. We'll take the winners' names off the air, and we'll take care of them for tickets, so thanks for
that. Congrats, guys.
All right, so what else is happening in the world of Mark DiCarlo that we need to talk about right now?
You know what?
Isn't it time for another book from you?
Possibly. Yeah? We're talking about going down to Cuba and doing a TV show down there, a food and travel show down there.
You should take Yenny.
I don't know if she'd fit in.
Has she ever been?
No. I think so. You know, we don't really discuss it.
I remember the last time you and I, and I like being the third wheel with DiCarlo.
Uh-huh.
So DiCarlo and Yenny, his lovely wife, a very talented woman, and frankly, what's she doing with him, right?
I mean, no one knows. The question. That's the mystery.
So the last time they were in town, we went out to breakfast, sure. And I accidentally started a fight between these guys over the nation of Cuba, and they're going at each other, and at one point I just went, I'm going to get some water.
And he never came back.
They never noticed. No. They didn't even notice I was gone.
Well, you know, think about it, Steve. She came to this country when she was 10 years old, literally in the middle of the night,
right.
Because they wanted to come here because of freedom of speech and the freedom that America affords. And now her and a lot of other people that I know are scared crapless with what's going on with our government. And I think, you know what? I wish Mr. Trump the best. I will be so thrilled. Here's my thinking. I think because he's so uniquely unqualified, his incompetence might be our salvation.
I approach this differently. I think his ego is the salvation, because I think his ego is so huge and he's got to be so insecure about actually winning, because you'll never convince me that he wanted to win when he got
it. He looked shocked when he won.
But his ego is so huge, he's not going to want to fail at the highest level you could possibly fail at. So he'll find somebody to try to make him good. That doesn't ensure success. But I'm saying his ego is a driver that could create good.
True, but who does he turn to for advice? That's what scares me.
We don't know. We don't know that yet. I don't like him. I don't like him personally. I don't like anything he said. And I don't like the fact that he has a job, but I will support him. Because I hope I'm wrong, because he's got the gig. And we need the president of the United States to be great at the job.
Right. And we definitely need to make some changes and make things better in this country. And who knows?
I'm telling you, people, you got to pay attention to Congress. Congress has more impact over your life every day than the president does.
Especially now.
By far. So pay attention to who you're voting for and who you're not voting for. All right, I have 10 seconds. Go.
Don't be depressed, America. Oh, I was just going to give America a pep talk.
Tough break. Mark, maybe in the championship round you'll have time to wish America well. Love you. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me, Steve. It's always a delightful change from my regular day life to come in.
You don't love me?
I do love you very much.
Okay, well, I was waiting for Eric. I was kind of fishing there. It's a couple minutes before 10. Back
Steve, the love fisher. We'll be right back.